The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
And for today, that's Morning Edition here on WILL AM 580. I'm Jay Pierce. Thanks for listening. Dave Dickey joins us now with our opening commodity market report.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Thursday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, September wheat opened at 4.71, down a half on the open. December 4.88, down 1.5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat opened at 3.89, up 1 on the open. December 4.09, down a quarter. March 4.27, up a half. May 4.34, down 2. July 4.41.5, down 3/4 on the open. September corn opened at 2.39 1/4, down a half on the open. December 2.56 1/4, down a half. March 2.69 3/4, down 3/4. May 2.79 1/4, down 3/4. July 2.87 3/4, down 1. December 3.03 3/4, down a half. March 3.11 1/2, down 2 3/4 on the open. September oats open at 1.81, down 1 on the open. December 1.88, down 1/4. August soybeans open at 5.61, down 1 on the open. September 5.65, down 1.5. November 5.78.5, down 1.5. January 5.91 1/4, down 2. May 6.10, down 2.5 on the open. August soybean meal open at 158.60, unchanged on the open. September 159.80, unchanged. August soybean oil opened at 26.23, down 12 on the open. The September contract also down 12 on the open. Its tick is 26.40. At the Merck, August feeders open at 116.90, up 82.5 on the open. September 116.80, up 85. October 117.50, up 97.5 on the open. August live cattle open at 87.80, up 150 on the open. October, 91.45, up 100. December, 90.75, up 75 on the open. August lean hogs open at 71.30, up 55 on the open. October, 63.30, up 65. December, 60.80, up 32.5. February, 61.60, down 2.5 on the open. And February pork bellies open at 90.40, down 5 on the open.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
And we'll get back to Dave in just a moment, but first a reminder that a severe thunderstorm warning is in effect for northern Iroquois County in east central Illinois in our severe weather coverage area, as well as southern Lake in northwest Indiana and Newton County in northwest Indiana till 10:30. Radar had indicated a line of severe thunderstorms that prompted it from north of St. John to Lowell to just west of Morocco, moving rapidly to the southeast at 55 miles an hour, capable of producing penny-sized hail and damaging winds at 60 to 75 miles an hour. And once again, Iroquois County, northern Iroquois County, in our severe weather coverage area remains under this severe thunderstorm warning until 10:30. Back to you, Dave.
Thank you very much, Jay. Joining us now on the phone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave.
I look at my Dow Jones commentary this morning, as I do every morning, and I see it says serious near-term chart damage has been done this week in soybeans. Are they right?
Well, there's nothing. It's hard to find anything bullish in the November soybean charts. I mean, basically, if you look at individual contract charts, we'll take November for example. You gap down there on Monday, so you've got a big gap lower open there on Monday. If you would kind of just eyeball that as a measuring gap of a move to go further down the road here. You would basically measure the midpoint off of the contract high, or the high that we had here 2-3 weeks ago up there around 540. It kind of says that beans have a 50 cents down from 590, so it does tee up a longer-term move down into the 540s. But it could also be an exhaustion gap type thing, and we wallow around here in this week's range, and something comes along, and we jump back to the upside, and then that would be an island reversal. So there's all kinds of readings, but, yes, I would say that we did bust any kind of sideways to higher trend that we had in place on the longer-term perspective by making, you know, new lows for the year.
Let's look at a couple of estimates for tomorrow morning's crop production numbers. Corn, 10.795 is the average guess, billion of bushels, of course. Soybeans, 3.020. I'm hearing rumblings that traders really projected on the high side of their estimates in an attempt that if the numbers come out a little bit softer, the report will look bullish, which means to suggest if we come out on these numbers, we might be setting up a bearish scenario. What are you hearing?
Well, I don't know if traders are that smart, Dave. I do know what the trade's looking at is that the odds are USDA has underestimated the crop probably more often than overestimated the crop here on August 1st. So the trade does feel that USDA's numbers there's a good shot that USDA's numbers will be smaller than what the average trade guess is. USDA's August 1 numbers are going to have to almost be records or records to kind of be kind of on the bearish side. So, you know, and believe it or not, I mean, the August crop report has had a tendency to rally prices probably more than it has had a tendency to push prices lower. I mean, it's but that's what the statistics would say. So I think the trade is looking at USDA coming in at the trade guess, or maybe even a bit below the average trade guess, and then that would maybe look a little friendly. But, you know, the trade's so smart these days that, you know, what it could do is say, okay, well, this was anticipated there, and the crop conditions are good, and we've got some rains in some areas that's really improved it, that the September number is going to be larger now than the August number, and that this will be the lowest number of the year. So that'll be the interesting spin on the trade, how they play it once these numbers do come out tomorrow morning, Dave.
I want to move quickly beyond the numbers and ask you what is on the horizon then, and whether or not you believe that we might be putting in a harvest low in corn earlier rather than later this year.
Well, a lot of that depends upon what the size of the crop is. I have some cyclical work that would indicate that there's a shot at that. Here, maybe over the next week or two, a lot, you know, like I said, it kind of depends upon USDA's number. But I think there's reason to think that may happen, simply because everybody's looking down the road, looking at you know, the stronger demand base and the need to try to switch some acreage levels around, put more acres into corn, put some more acres into wheat. To kind of get these balance sheets loosened up a little bit for the distant. So I do think end users might be a little bit more aggressive in trying to buy this late summer weakness that we usually have, or pre-harvest weakness that comes about as producers and elevator managers move inventory into the pipeline to kind of make room for the new crop harvest. So I think there's some of that thinking going on. Whether or not that materializes or not, I don't know. The other thing, I think farmers have been bulled up to the sense, I mean, there's been an awful lot of bullish talk in farm magazines, market advisors, commodity brokers, whatnot, of how this strong demand base is going to develop over the next 12 months here. I do think farmers as a group will be strong holders of inventory. So if you're an end user wanting to buy inventory, you kind of got to buy it right in here, because I think farmers will kind of be generally tight holders, at least for the most part.
Thanks much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois.
Support for WILL provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an Agricultural Outlook meeting on Saturday, August 12th at 10 a.m. at Casino Astar in Evansville, Indiana. Registration is required since seating is limited. More details at 866-837-9027.
A reminder, the National Weather Service in Romeoville has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northern Iroquois County in east central Illinois, southern Lake County in northwestern Indiana, and Newton County in northwest Indiana. That until 10:30 this morning. Also, a severe thunderstorm watch remains in effect for portions of northern and central Illinois and western and central Indiana until 1 o'clock central time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time in the immediate AM 580 severe weather coverage area, the FM 90.9 severe weather coverage area. That severe thunderstorm watch includes the following counties in Illinois: Champaign, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, McLean, and Vermilion. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.